Good morning, everybody. Got a fancy new table here to put my iPad on. It's nice. It's good to be in God's house, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that exciting when people are being baptized in water, giving their hearts to Jesus, and especially when people are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite things on the face of the earth to watch happen, hopefully for you as well. So it's just good to be in God's house, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Good to have my dear friends Bob and AJ Wrestler here. Just embarrass you guys really quickly. I've known them for about 250 years now, and so we go back quite a ways. AJ said, speak for yourself. Amen. We're in the middle of an exciting series of messages as far as I'm concerned, not just because it's the Word of God, that's the main reason, but it's one of the ways that we're able to begin to impart who we are as a church into the overall environment of Christian life onto the various campuses. And it's our teaching on relationships that we've entitled One Another. It's a number of things we've looked at already. The very first week we talked about this, we were dealing with something that really tries to work against us in walking in Bible relationships, because every one of us has a common problem that we're born into besides sin. We're born into this world with an orphan heart. And we talked a lot about that. And the problem is we're not just born into it, but for most of us, people, circumstances, all kinds of things, the devil himself reinforces that heart to keep us trapped there. And the problem is that it's very, very difficult for orphans to walk in Bible relationship because the insecurity is so deep in that place. But thank God Jesus is calling us out of that and into sonship. Amen? One of the most fundamental things we talked about the second week as far as our relationships with each other is that we're called to walk in love. And the command Jesus gave us was that we're to love people the way he loves. That makes it a whole lot deeper issue, doesn't it? When we're going to love like Jesus loved. God wants to stretch you and I in our ability to love. How many are willing to be stretched?
Yes.
Amen? How many know stretching doesn't sound like it is not always fun? Right? Anybody ever stretch you before?
Yeah.
Amen. And we're called not just to love people, but to like people. We're called not just to love our neighbors, but love even our enemies. That's where it really gets interesting. We saw the third week that God's calling on us to show mercy and compassion on one another. We saw that mercy always triumphs over judgment. Amen? And that we're being called on by God to show mercy as a proactive part of our life, not a reactive. We're to enter into life wanting to show mercy. It calls on us to be humble, patient, to bear with one another, and to be gentle. And we are to forgive here again, as Christ forgave us. That's a whole dynamic there. Last week, we looked at what it means to edify or to build up one another. That becomes really challenging when we many times don't feel very encouraged ourselves, right? And yet God says, even in your need, I'm calling on you to encourage somebody else. And what he said is as we do that, God mystically brings through the back door of our life strength and encouragement as we lift up others and build up others, even in our own need. Amen? If you haven't tried that before, try it. It works. And like all the rest of them, once again, God has called on us to make this proactive. We're supposed to be considering one another as to how we can build up one another. What, in other words, do you need me to be for you? Amen? And God's so serious about it that he tells us that we're to encourage one another each and every day, all throughout the day. I mean, it's a big work. We're called to do it constantly. I don't know about you, but I really, really appreciate something about the Lord. God has given us an ongoing invitation to be changed. Do you appreciate that? I really appreciate that a lot. It's ongoing. to be changed. And these teachings are not just principles to live by. These are invitations into transformation. Because for us to love, serve, show mercy, and do all the things to edify others, it requires things to change in us to be able to walk it out practically. And so it's an ongoing transformation. And it's never going to stop. If you don't like change, you need to learn to like it. Because it's going to keep happening. Amen? Hallelujah. So today we want to continue, and we're going to look at something that's very, very important in each of our lives when it comes to Bible relationship. We're going to talk about serving one another. Somebody's excited. I'm glad. Come on up, Spencer. I'll just chat with you. Serving one another. Hallelujah. It's important that we get the heart of this. This is a major one, too. And once again, it's calling on us to be changed. Amen?
Amen.
How many know you were born into this world in one kingdom, and God's calling you into another? One day the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, you haven't even entered into real life yet. That comes next life. Right now, you're in the boot camp necessary to train you how to live in that place. That's why we have to change. Amen? All right. I could go on about that forever. We'll stop. So I want to begin today by looking at a passage of scripture the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. This word submit is kind of a military term, and what it literally means is I arrange myself under my brothers. You notice it didn't say that I subject you or you subject me. It says I subject myself. This is a voluntary thing that we do. And the motivation for us arranging ourselves underneath our brothers and sisters is only one thing, and it's out of our reverence for Christ. How many know that when you fall in love with somebody and you start to walk with them, they rub off on you? My wife has rubbed off on me in the 300 years we've been married. Acts is 42, right? Good. Yeah, right. I'll have a good afternoon now. That's wonderful. She's rubbed off on me. I've rubbed off on her. And it happens to all of us. When you love somebody, you begin to become more like them. As you get older, I mean, we could almost finish each other's sentences now. But when you fall in love with Jesus, guess what happens to you? You take on his nature, the nature of a servant. Yes. And you begin to serve from that place. Listen, Jesus said it this way. In John 10, 17 and 18, he said, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. But listen, he says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down. Everybody say, I lay it down. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. It was willing on his part, his choice, lay his life down. Are you with me? So we do this out of reverence for Christ. Let me give you another key. There's another part of this. It's when we begin to see each other properly, we begin to see the Jesus in one another. And when we begin to see the Jesus in one another, then it becomes a lot easier to serve one another. Jesus said, even if you serve the least of these, which that doesn't really exist in his mind and heart, only for us. But even when you serve the least of your brothers, you're serving him. See how that works? All right, cool. So in Romans 12:10, we're going to get to the heart of this thing. This is where we're going to spend a good chunk of our day today. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? honor one another above yourselves. That's the spirit of true biblical service. So this is what God wants to build into you and I on ever-increasing levels, is this ability to honor others above ourselves. And the word honor is a special word, and I want you to understand what it means to honor somebody else. It means that I revere you and I see your value. It means that I prize and treasure you. It means that I make it my place to point out your value. Are you with me? It means that I become a promoter of other people exclusively. It's never about promoting myself, not ever. Honoring the kingdom means that I place as kind of a default thought process that I want everybody else around me to be honored before I'm honored. I'm not seeing many smiles today. That's what it means. And I can tell you, the first week we talked about the orphan heart. This war is against the orphan heart. Because the security base is not there. To be able to do that. See, there's a voice from heaven, as we've talked about so many times in here, crying out over you and I 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that says, you are my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. That's designed to establish us, to secure us in the love of God, so that then we aren't afraid to turn around and honor somebody else and lift them up. But it has to come from that place deep inside of us. We need to understand that serving other people in no way, shape, or form diminishes us in any way at all. And there's a beautiful picture of this found over in the book of Exodus, rather, in the Old Testament. Let me read this to you. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year he'll go free. Verse 5 says, but if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, and I don't want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the or doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. These kinds of servants in the Old Testament were called love slaves. Love slaves. And let me tell you what the heart of a love slave says, because it's really a picture for us in Jesus. Here's what it says. I'm yours, master. I have found what I want with you and in you. I recognize that I will never do any better than giving myself fully to you. I'm not out here any longer trying to make a name for myself or make some distinctive about me. I have found my identity in you. What do you think? You know, men have a midlife crisis issue sometimes that comes into their hearts and lives. A midlife crisis happens when they look back over their life and they consider what they've accomplished, and they aren't really happy with what they've accomplished. And because their accomplishments are their identity, their accomplishments are their worth. When they don't like what they've accomplished, then their worth and their perceived value begins to go down. And it brings great depression into their lives. But when my identity is fully resident in Jesus Christ, and the greatest value I have in my life is in that relationship with Him, then, and if that's the place my accomplishments flow from, okay, then they no longer define me. I'm already defined by Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So if I go into a different season in my life where maybe I'm not as visible, maybe I'm not as prominent, whatever that means, you know, at some point in my life, my identity, my worth, my value is not messed with at all, because Jesus hasn't gone anywhere. He's still there. Can you say amen? And I don't now have to compare myself with anybody. First of all, because I'm a prototype. There's never been another you on the planet. Anybody know what a prototype is? It's a one of a kind. You, my friends, are one of a kind. There's never been another you on the earth. There never will be again. So when you try to compare a prototype with anything else, it's foolishness, isn't it? Because what do you compare yourself to? You're one of a kind. Your journey is unique. It doesn't compare to anybody else's. Are you with me? I can tell you now from my life over the years, and I'm telling you, this thing is really subtle. Whatever you put your confidence in, your trust in, whatever you try to use to establish your worth outside of God, it isn't going to work. Yeah. And many times we don't even know that's what we're doing until whatever that thing is leaves. And we find ourselves hobbling around because our confidence has been in the wrong place. And I've watched the Lord in my own life begin to dismantle things that I had put my confidence in. That's fun. And in this last season of my life, if there's one message God has given me, it is, keep your eyes fixed on me. Put your full trust in me. Don't let yourself be pulled in any other direction. Because anything else I put my confidence in is the shifting sand. It's not the rock. Are you with me? And if I don't have that as my mindset, serving becomes very difficult in the kingdom of God. I put this little thing up here. If y'all got it, it says, my trust, my worth, my value, everything else is centered in on Him. It's a wonderful place to live when that's true, because I'm not looking for anything else to tell me who I am. And then I don't have problems serving or promoting others around me. In fact, you can actually come into a place of great joy in doing that. Can you say amen? You see this quote up here. This comes out of a book by Bill Johnson and Chris Vallotton called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty. It says, paupers, and you could make that orphans, always see lack. They're afraid that the blessing of another somehow takes away something from them. The pauper or the orphan spirit just can't believe the abundance that the Father has for us. They are always live limited, and they live jealous of everyone else who receives God's best. Listen, we ought to be rejoicing when the kingdom wins through anybody. Listen, whatever I have belongs to you. Whatever you have belongs to me. It belongs to us together. Every win is a team win. Right? Amen. The Bible shows us another picture of this over in Numbers 18. Look at what it says here. The Lord said to Aaron, Aaron was the high priest in Israel, you will have no inheritance in their land, this is the promised land, nor will you have any share among them. Look at this. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. Wow. So there was nothing there for them in the way of status or inheritance whatsoever. God said, I am going to be your status. I am going to be your inheritance. What do you think? Hallelujah. That's how the priesthood is supposed to live. And guess who are the priesthood of God today? Peter says it's you and me. Turn to somebody and say, are you listening? We're talking about serving one another and promoting somebody else above yourself. And I want to say, when you look at the passage of Scripture that we started with, this is supposed to be proactive again, something we look to do. We're looking for those opportunities to bring somebody else to the forefront above ourselves. Now, when I first came over here, y'all have heard this story a bunch. We're going to bore you with it again today because it's true. I came over to this church because I thought, well, this isn't the reason I came, but one of my thoughts was, now I get to be the senior guy. Now it's my day in the sun. How many know what the Father did with that? He said, son, let me tell you what your life is going to look like for the rest of your life. You are going to be the promoter of everybody around you. I'm going to give you the privilege of helping people find their place. Your ministry will never be about you. It'll always be about other people. That is your ministry. And you let me worry about you. Well, that will either drive you crazy or it will bless you. And no credit to me on any level. This is all God. God has built into my heart a joy in all of that. Of seeing other people around me promoted. I love that. There's nothing I enjoy more than that, actually. And if we will submit ourselves to God in this way, He will build that same kind of joy into us. We'll enjoy serving others. And God will increase our security in Him to the degree that we can do that. Amen? Listen, this fights against our squirrel system altogether. It's all about climbing the ladder, coming into success, making a name, you know. But that's not the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. Now, I've taught a lot on honor in here because, frankly, we live in a culture so lacking of honor. Anybody here on Facebook? Have you read it? There's no honor going on. It's about running everybody down around you. When honor was intended by God to be a place, not just something we do, it was designed to build an atmosphere around our lives. He said, honor your father and mother right out of the gate. We honor our father and mother so that not only will we live long, but it'll go well with us. That's blessing. And God intended for that to spill over into every relationship we ever walk in. It's to build an ongoing, daily atmosphere in our lives of blessing as we honor those around us. Honor means that we give weight to another person. One of the best things a husband can do for their wives is to give weight to their words. Give weight to their words. One of the ways I've learned to do that is to repeat back to my wife what she's told me, so that she knows I heard her and she knows I get it. But honor means giving weight to another person. Can I tell you that in the life of Jesus, there came a point in his life where honor was not given to him. He went into a town, his own hometown, and the Bible says they did not honor him. And because they did not honor him, guess what? They did not receive the blessing he could have been and he could have brought. Are you with me? And I can tell you from my own experience, the people in my life who I have given honor to end up becoming the greatest blessing in my life. That's what it's supposed to do, is we learn to honor each other. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. An atmosphere that God wants to build, not only on this campus, but every campus of Christian life, and frankly, across the city and the church.
Yep.
Honor.
Yep.
Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. That sounds good, doesn't it? But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another. So we're free to serve. The word serve here, let me read you the definition. It is to act or conduct oneself as one in total service to another. Perform the duties of a slave. Or in other words, make yourself a slave. So you are free to make yourself a slave. It almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Freedom to make yourself a slave. And yet Jesus said over in the Gospel of Mark, he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We read this, and I think we kind of get this mentally, but when you start talking about walking out what this is talking about, it gets a little bit more difficult to do. Oftentimes, when we go into serving positions, there's some things that we might be thinking that we need to be careful of. First of all, serving is never a stepping stone to something else. Serving is never about me. It's about everybody around me. And certainly, it's never about building a ministry for me. It's about everybody else around me. It's about laying down my life. We're free to become slaves. And it connects three words: freedom, serving, and loving. So we are free or liberated to serve in the love of God. And it's only in the love of God that we will serve the way that we're supposed to. I want to read you an interesting passage of scripture that you may or may not have looked at this way. It's found in Matthew, the 5th chapter. It says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Great news. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Why on earth would Jesus tell you to do more than what is absolutely demanded and required of you? He's really describing to them a form of Roman slavery over their lives. A Roman soldier could come to you anytime and demand your coat, your shirt. He could make you carry his stuff for 1 mile. That was the law. And you had no choice in it whatsoever. He was treating you just like you were a slave. And so what Jesus was doing here, follow me, is he was giving you an opportunity to come out of slavery and into freedom. Because let me tell you what, when he asks you for your shirt and you give him your coat as a free will offering, you're no longer a slave, are you? When he asks you to walk 1 mile and you go the second mile, you're no longer a slave. That's your choice. You come out from under slavery and into freedom. You see, we think freedom is external. God's view of slavery is internal. I'll never forget the man Richard Wurmbrand, who was up in the cold, dark areas of Russia in a prison camp. They tortured that poor man, treated him horribly. And he would be in his cell, and he would be in Morse code tapping out the gospel to the other prisoners there. And one day one of the guards came and he said, you will never, ever get out of this prison. Richard Wurmbrand looked at him and said, prison? What prison? This is my parish. This is where I preach the gospel. There's no prison. You can't imprison a guy like that because he's free in here. And this is the freedom God wants to build into our hearts. A freedom in here, secured in here, in the love of God to serve other people. Are you with me? Now I want to go back to a verse we read, almost done. In John, the 10th chapter, he said, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Freedom to lay my life down. We've often focused on this from the standpoint of nobody could take Jesus' life away from him. But the true focus is, I'm laying it down willingly. Because when we come into the kingdom in the new man, there is this beautiful servitude that begins to flow in and through our lives. And it's not begrudging. It's a delight then to serve. In many of our lives, something happened in our servitude towards other people. Some of us have encountered people who just didn't handle it well. And maybe we got hurt in the middle of serving others. Maybe things were demanded of you that you weren't really wanting to give, but you felt forced into giving something you didn't want to give. Maybe you've been wounded. And our response to something like that is usually to protect ourselves and back away from serving. But the problem is, we were born to serve. And because we're born to serve, and because leaders in the kingdom of God are the biggest servants of all, Jesus said, when you begin to protect yourself, when you try to save yourself, you're going to lose. And in this case, you're going to lose one of the chief purposes why God put you in the earth, and that's to serve. Are you with me? I'm not saying we should live under taskmasters or anything like that, but we cannot let our knee-jerk reaction be, I'm stopping my serving now. Because then we stop our purpose. Can you imagine a place where everybody in the church had a mindset that said, who can I promote today? Who can I build up today? Whose value can I point out today? Who can I exalt above myself today? What would that look like as a whole church environment? I'm not talking about just this campus. I'm talking about across the boards. You see, in the kingdom, serving is not a drudgery. Serving is not abuse. Serving becomes in itself a goal. My goal is to serve, and I find great joy in serving. We serve for the joy of serving. Okay? And this again becomes very subtle. Sometimes we serve with an expectation that says, people should appreciate me serving. This should somehow bring some sort of appreciation or some sort of honor to me because I serve. And yes, it should in the ideal sense, but it cannot be our expectation. We cannot do it for that reason. Listen, Jesus washed the feet of Judas. No complaints. Whose feet are we willing to wash? Who are we willing to serve? We have to let serving become our own joy. Anybody feel the least bit challenged? I want to give us an assignment this week. As we said last week, there's nothing that brings strength into your life like building somebody else up when you're in need. You want to find strength in your life? Go build somebody else up when you're not feeling it.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same thing here. Find somebody to serve and watch and see what happens. I asked you last week to find people that you could encourage all week long. Today I'm going to ask you, look for opportunities this week to serve somebody. It doesn't have to be a biggie. My wife always tells the story of helping a woman get some groceries off the top shelf when she couldn't get it. Look for those ways. Ask God, show me where I can serve somebody this week. And watch and see what happens. In such a place of joy into your heart. God wants to teach us to be servants. I used to read that place where Jesus said, he that would be the greatest among you must be the servant of all. And I would think, well, that's a qualification for leadership. No, it is not. It's a warning. You want to serve me? You want to lead other people? You want to become something greater in the kingdom of God, you will be a servant. It's going to require it of you. Your road is going to narrow. What's expected of you is going to increase, and we have to be servants to do that. How many want to serve? Serve God, serve others. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand if you would today. I wish there was a way I could lay hands on you today and impart the heart of a servant into you. Not possible. Can't do that. What I can do today is pray and ask God to help you, strengthen you, encourage you, and enable you to look outside of yourself, to find your worth, your identity in Him that frees you up then to serve others. I want to pray that over you today. And the day is going to come. Our service. Father, we love you, O God, with all of our heart, all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. We thank you, O God, that you came, Jesus, as a servant. You came serving and giving. You took off your garment and wrapped the towel around your waist, and you got down on your hands and knees, and you washed the feet of the very ones you come to save. You taught by example. You gave yourself, Lord, to the point of giving your own life. Lord, build into us a place of such deep security in who you are, and such deep security of who we are in you, that God, we are free to serve you, free to serve you, free to give of ourselves and prefer everyone else above us, Lord. Put a joy in our hearts, O God, over that. Let that be the cry of our heart, O God. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that's open and receptive to you to be the servants you called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. We love you today.
Amen. Before we go any further, I think it's important to take an opportunity this morning. If maybe even during this message, you were thinking, I'm not even sure what this means. I'm not sure who this Jesus is. So if I could get everyone just to close their eyes. If there's people in here today that may say, I've never even accepted Jesus into my heart, or Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you walked with Jesus a long time ago, but it's been something that maybe you haven't activated recently. If that's you today, I'd like to pray with you. If you just stick your hand up, just wave your hand at me. Thank you. If we're going to all pray together, pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I would ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And let today be a new day. Lord, thank you for changing my life. And thank you for meeting me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate with those that said that prayer? Said, even the response to the message today might not be a one-time prayer. It's not something we can just pray one time, but there's probably people here today who probably have some things going on. If you need prayer for anything today, we're going to go into a time of worship just to close out. But if I could have some of the prayer team members come up, and we're going to pray for those that, if you need prayer for anything that might be going on in your life, or maybe even a response to what was preached today, feel free to come, and prayer team members will be here to pray.